Thanks for checking out sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. We hope these messages encourage, convict, and inspire you to love and follow Jesus more faithfully as we seek to saturate our city with the hope of the gospel. Our online resources are meant to serve you, but they aren't a replacement for the face-to-face relationships that we were built for. So we really hope that if you're in Owensboro, you'll join us in person on a Sunday morning. And if you live elsewhere, you'll find a local church in your community where you can put down roots and find family. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.
All right. Well, hey, a couple weeks ago, a group of us fellas went up to explore and hike through Canada at the amazing Banff National Park. Anybody ever been up to Banff? Yeah, so if you've not been, you need to go. It's amazing. You cannot leave Banff an atheist. If you do, that is not on God, that is on you. Every square inch of this place just screams the glory and the power of God. But our first night there, we left the airport, we were in Calgary, went to a local restaurant, and we were sitting there eating the Canadian famous poutine fries, absolutely smothered in gravy and cheese curds. Guaranteed to have a heart attack shortly thereafter, probably. But we asked our waitress, like, hey, we're new in town, what do we do while we're here? She said, you absolutely have to go to the Calgary Stampede. She's like, that's a no-brainer. That's the thing. It's known as the greatest outdoor show on earth, the Calgary Stampede. So it happens every year for 10 days where over 1 million people come in for a week of a world-famous rodeo, chuck wagon races, Native American horse acrobatics, I'm not making that up, beer, tractor pulls, dancing, beer, cowboys and cowgirls, wannabe cowboys and cowgirls, Wranglers, boots, beer, rednecks, funnel cakes, footlong corn dogs, deep fried Snickers, and did I mention beer? So we were like, we gotta go. Not for the beer, by the way, but it's very clear. My mama told me, son, don't you ever let that devil's juice touch those angel lips of yours. And so I honor my mom in that way. But we went because we're thinking, man, this is gonna be the best people watching ever. Because it's not every day you're in Canada with 1 million cowboys, rednecks, and Native Americans chasing each other on chuck wagons. Like, you gotta see this. We don't do this stuff in Owensboro, right? So just imagine the state fair, if you've been, times 10,000, and then a lot more redneck than that. And that's kind of what the Calgary Stampede is. It's the greatest outdoor show on earth, so how could we not go? So we walk in there on a Saturday night, and it's hotter than the devil's armpit, because it's right downtown. I mean, you got like 1 million people crammed in, and there's just masses of people everywhere, most of whom were wearing clothes they should not have been wearing. Kind of like Holiday World. If you ever have low self-esteem about your body, either go to the Holiday World or the Calgary Stampede, and you will immediately feel like a supermodel. I left thinking, man, I'm Brad Pitt. I went and, you know, updated the profile on my Facebook and everything. So we wade our way through all the tight-fitting Wranglers and cowboy hats, and we make our way to the chuck wagon races. Now, if you've never seen a chuck wagon race, don't. After 3 or 4 races, nobody crashed, nobody got hurt. So this is kind of boring. Let's go get a funnel cake. And so overall, we're glad we went because the people watching was amazing. But we all agreed the Calgary Stampede did not live up to the hype of being the greatest outdoor show on earth. But did you know that in the Bible, God actually talks about what is, in fact, the greatest show on earth? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. We're in week 19 of our verse-by-verse study of the book of Ephesians. And today in Ephesians chapter 3, we see that the greatest show in the universe is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together out of respect for the reading of God's word. Last week, Paul introduced us to the divine mystery. He referenced three times in nine verses, the mystery of Christ in the gospel. So we're going to read verses 6 through 11 to remind us of the mystery. The main verse we'll focus on today is verse number 10, where we left it off last week. The Holy Spirit says, here is the mystery that had been hidden for thousands of years. The mystery is the Gentiles are co-heirs with the Jews, members of the same body as the Jews, and partners in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I was made a servant of this gospel, Paul says, by the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the working of his power. This grace was given to me, the least of all the saints, to proclaim to the Gentiles the incalculable riches of Christ, and to shed light for all. He means every tongue, every tribe, every nation, about the administration of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. Now, here's the focal verse for today. This is so that God's multifaceted wisdom may now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavens. This is according to his eternal purpose accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you. You can be seated. We learned last week that the mystery of the gospel of Jesus is that Jesus has saved for himself a people from every tongue, every tribe, and every nation, and we're all one in Jesus. That is the mystery of the gospel. Ethnic barriers are gone. Socioeconomical barriers are gone. Gender barriers are gone. Racial barriers are gone. There is not a Jewish church. There is not a Gentile church. There is not a black or a white church. There's not an Asian or Hispanic church. There's not a Protestant church or a Roman Catholic church. There is one church, the Bible says, and that is the one unified, blood-bought church of Jesus, united together as one in Jesus' name. The church is radically diverse, but we are beautifully one in Jesus. That's the mystery. Now, why does God form his church in this way? Why doesn't God make us all look alike? Why aren't we all Jews? Why isn't Christianity just an American religion or an Eastern religion? Why so much diversity? Why are there Christians gathering around the world right now in every place in the world, singing in a million different languages and with all kinds of different expressions and building types and songs and liturgies? And it's so different, but it's also beautiful to the Lord. Why did he do it that way? The answer is in verse 10. Verse 10. This is so that God's multifaceted wisdom may now be made known, how? Through the church, to the rulers and authorities in the heavens. So the diverse yet unified church of Jesus exists. We exist to show off the wisdom of God to the world. The church is not a building. The church is not a denomination. The church is a people. And those people in the church, we are God's display case for his beauty to the universe. If you want to see the glory of God, the Bible says, look at the church of Christ. To see the church is to see the beauty of God's power. Verse 10, this is so that God's multifaceted, look at that word in verse 10, his multifaceted wisdom may now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavens. The word multifaceted, the ESV translates that Greek word manifold, the manifold wisdom of God. It's a Greek word that can mean many colored. Remember that for later. It's a similar term actually from the Hebrew to Joseph's coat of many colors. Remember that story? Back in Genesis 37. The word multifaceted in verse 10 can also, it was used in the first century to describe the intricately embroidered patterns found on clothing that were worn by very wealthy people. Oh, look, she's got a multifaceted blouse from Gucci. look at that dude. He's got a multifaceted pair of britches from Armani. It's like, that's kind of the word used there. So knowing that, go back to verse 10. This is so that God's multifaceted, many-colored, intricately woven, embroidered wisdom may now be made known through the church. So in verse 10, God wants to show off His attribute of wisdom. God wants to show off and display the intricate, beautiful, multicolored, embroidered, dazzling masterpiece of His wisdom. He wants the whole world to know and see Him. So how is God going to show off who He is? How does God want to reveal the beauty of His heart? In verse 10, God's multifaceted wisdom may now be made known. How? Through the church. Through us. The church exist to display and show off the wisdom of God. When a lost world sees the gathered church, they should say, wow, God is so wise and beautiful. When Owensboro sees this church at Pleasant Valley, is that what they say? Do they think more highly of God because of the beautiful thing He's doing here? The church of Jesus Christ is the greatest show on earth because the church uniquely shows off the greatness of God. So if you want to see the heart of God, look at the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can go to the lake this morning. We can go to a deer stand. We can go to the top of Mount Everest, and it's beautiful. But nowhere in the cosmos will you see the glory of God more clearly than when the people of God gather as the church. This is unique and divine and holy and sacred in a way nothing else out there is. That's the meaning of verse 10. But to what audience in particular is God showing off His magnificent wisdom through the church? Did you know that when you gather with God's people on a Sunday morning, did you know that you are being watched? Yes, we have security cameras. And we see you sleeping back there on row 7. But that's not what I'm talking about. We're being watched right now. Now, people got all kinds of opinions about the NSA watching us, you know, and how that affects our privacy. You know, like if you're with your friends talking about, you know, like bass fishing, somehow all of a sudden you get 27 ads on Facebook with bass. Like it's like they're totally watching us. So, but I don't know, whatever you think about all that, it's not the point. We're not talking about governmental surveillance this morning. We are talking about the Bible teaches that right now we are under heavenly surveillance. Did you catch that in the text? Let's go back and read it. Verse 10, look at this. God's multifaceted wisdom may now be made known through the church. To whom? Who is the audience in particular that is watching what's happening in here? To the rulers and authorities in the heavens. That's whose attention God is catching through the church. The rulers and authorities in the heavens of our sin refer to spiritual beings, angels, and demons. In this very moment, the Bible says there is a captive audience of spiritual beings in the heavenlies, the unseen realm, angels and demons. It's all real. There's a captive audience watching our every move when we gather as a church. I remember that song by Alabama in the 90s, "There's Angels Among Us." Not every country song speaks truth. That one does. Angels and demons are real. And they are among us, and they're watching in particular. Angels and demons right now are not worried about what's happening on the river. They're not worried about what's happening at the Cracker Barrel. They are paying attention to what's happening right here. and to all the other local gatherings of God's people across this city. In 1 Peter chapter 1, there's this curious verse that's always, surprised me in some sense. Speaking of the mystery of Christ, these things have now been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Look at this. Angels long to catch a glimpse of these things. It's as though the angels are stooping down from heaven, longing to see the gospel on display in the church. They're captivated by it. Have you ever seen anything so spectacular and beautiful you couldn't stop looking at it? It was that way the first time I saw my now wife, Annie. That's not her. Hold that picture, sorry. Go back one. She's more pretty than that. But no, I saw her on walking up the steps of Faculty Hall, and I'd never seen anything so beautiful in my life. And I was like, Lord, you done admitted angels to the Murray State University. I couldn't take my eyes off of her, and I still can't today, 20-something years later. But it's also that way now at Banff. A few weeks ago. Next picture. So when me and the guys went, I mean, look at these pictures. And I'm going to tell you, that does not even do it justice. Like that is, you have to see it to believe it. You go and you, for hundreds of miles around, all you see is impeccable beauty and glory. It's almost too good to be true. You can't stop looking at it. Like you're not scrolling on social media at Banff. You're beholding the beauty of God. Well, that's how angels and demons are with the church. They can't stop looking. God built the church in such a way that he captivates spiritual beings. God's multifaceted wisdom, verse 10, next verse. God's multifaceted wisdom may now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavens. The angels don't give a flip about what happens in Hollywood. The demons aren't that worked up even about what's happening on Capitol Hill. But they're captivated by what Jesus is doing among his people. But why? Why is what's happening here far superior to anything that's happening on any Capitol Hill or in our entertaining stage in the world? Why is the church the greatest show on earth and it's not even close? Verse 10, because God's multifaceted wisdom may now be made known through the church. The church is the reflecting glass of the wisdom of God to the rulers and authorities in heaven. So, what is the multifaceted wisdom in verse 10 that God is showing off to angels and demons that they cannot stop looking at? Now it gets cool. Remember that word multifaceted in verse 10, how I told you it can mean many colored? Joseph's coat of many colors. Here's the point. Through the church, God's beauty and God's glory is displayed through a diverse people, a multicolored fellowship, a multicultural and multi-ethnic body, all who have been saved and united as one by Jesus. Revelation chapter 7, this is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. When it's all said and done, look at the exclamation point of the universe. After this, I looked, John said, and there was a vast multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language, which no one can number, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, who is Jesus. They cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb. So one day the Bible says, around the throne of King Jesus, we will see skin colors we have never seen. It'll be like a global Skittles casserole. We will hear languages we've never heard. But all the people and all the colors and all the languages with one unified voice will bring glory and honor to Jesus. What a day that will be. And the church of Jesus Christ right now, today, is to be a snapshot, a foreshadowing of that eternal church to come. God is showing off his church, and it's blowing the socks off the angels and demons. The angels and demons right now are looking in on this church and other churches all across the world, and they're in awe. The angels are worshiping. The demons are trembling as they see Asians and Hispanics standing side by side in Jesus' name. As they see rich and poor praying for one another. They can't believe their eyes. The angels have a tear of joy when they see doctors and former drug addicts sitting on the same pew in Jesus' name. And they see conservatives and progressives not hating one another, but loving one another in Jesus' name in spite of their differences. They can't believe it. They're like, what is happening? These people should despise one another. They see blue collar and white collar singing the same song, and they're like, what in the world is happening? They see 8-year-old children and 88-year-old saints loving the same Jesus. And they're like, wow. They see folks straight out of Sunday school and folks straight out of prison saved and united by the blood of Jesus on the same pew. They see a black woman hugging a white woman in the lobby walking into the worship service. And they're like, wow. Amazing. Because nowhere else on earth can you see that kind of unity. All right, I got to tell y'all a story. One of the most moving holy moments I've had in my life was this past March in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Me and my boys, Brian and Noah Mason, and some of our friends from El Paso, Texas, went to Milwaukee to see the Cats play in the NCAA tournament, and we won both of those first-round games, first time since like the 80s. We won a first-round game. That was amazing. But a few days before we left to go watch the Cats play, the boys asked us to try to find a place to play basketball while we were there. And it's Milwaukee, it's the north, so it's going to be too cold to play outside at a park. So I called Diana Moser, who's one of our lovely staffers here at the church. I said, hey, Diana, I got a favor to ask of you. You're going to love me. Diana, would you call every church in Milwaukee? There's over 1,000 of them, by the way. You can Google it. I said, would you call every church in Milwaukee and try to find a church that would let us come play ball on this Saturday morning of like the 22nd? She's like, call, you want me to call every church in Milwaukee? I said, well, you don't have to call them all. Just call until you find one. Like, okay. So Diana starts calling and leaving messages. I don't know how many churches she called, no telling. Out of all the churches she called, one church in all of Milwaukee, Wisconsin calls us back. And they said, well, of course, we'd love to have your people come to our church and play ball. It'd be amazing. So we set up a time, we show up that Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We show up thinking, you know, that maybe they'll have like a custodian that will unlock the door and show us in, that, you know, that'll be it. We'll have like the whole gym to ourselves or whatever. No, we show up 10 a.m. and their church has an entire welcoming party there to greet us. The pastor's there. The deacons are there. There's young folks, old folks, and every one of them personally introduced themselves to us. We walk in, they have like snacks and drinks for us. They take us on a tour of the church. I mean, they treat us like royalty. I mean, they're giving up their Saturday morning from seven strangers from El Paso and Owensboro. And then they brought a huge group from their church just to play ball with us. You know, like, so their fathers and sons were playing with our fathers and sons. I mean, the whole church was like packed just to love and welcome these people from Kentucky. So we play ball for a few hours, and then they tell us they're going to provide lunch for us. Like, what in the world? So they have like catered in this amazing food from a local restaurant in Milwaukee. So we're just eating and fellowshipping together like we'd known each other for years. It was amazing. We prayed together. And then they begin to invite us to church the next morning. They said, please come worship with us. We'd love to have you. So the next morning, we get up, put on our Kentucky jerseys, you know, like all we had for the most part. And then we go to church. And at the front door, they had their ushers waiting and expecting us. And they greeted us by name, welcomed us, and they take us by hand. I mean, just like you're at a wedding or something, you know, like ladies, the ushers, like will walk you and seat you. They walk us down to like the second or third row, and they had a whole row reserved for us with like a fancy velvet rope that said special guest. And like all the people from the church are like coming to embrace us and hug us and, hey, welcome, Kentucky, you know. And then the service starts and the pastor gets up, and the first thing she did was introduce us to the whole church. And like, she honored us publicly, and then they had a special time of prayer for our church. And then they invited me up on stage to like say a few words. I was not prepared for that. But never in my life, and you can ask the guys that went, have we felt so loved and accepted in a church. It was, they treated us strangers like family. Now there's one detail to this story I haven't given you yet. Tabernacle Community Baptist Church is a traditional Black Baptist church. We were the only white people there that morning. They didn't care about the color of our skin. They didn't care about our Kentucky accents. They loved and they welcomed us like we were family. And I was just emotional through the whole service. And I looked, and even some of our teenage boys were weeping. You could tangibly feel the presence of God. It just felt like God was smiling down. I think God had so much joy in what happened that morning. On many Sunday mornings, their pastor and I text back and forth. We're praying for each other. And at this time, we're going to see a brief message, actually, that I asked their sweet, dear sister, Pastor Donna, to record for our church. Here she is.
Grace and peace to you, Pastor Jamis, Sister Jamis, and the Pleasant Valley Church family. I'm Donna Childs, pastor of the Tabernacle Community Baptist Church in Milwaukee, and it is a privilege to share with you this morning the power and the movement of our awesome God. It all began with the Holy Spirit moving. On March 19th, a Wednesday, our church received a phone call that there was a church from Kentucky that was traveling to Milwaukee for the NCAA tournament. And they were looking for a church to visit, to fellowship with, and to play basketball. So, that sounded very interesting. And I'm thinking, okay, they don't know us, we don't know them, but I told my church administrator, I think this is something that God is doing. So I prayed, and I had such great peace about this. And so we said, let's try to make this work. Now, I'm not sure how Pastor Jamis, his staff, and Brother Google found Tabernacle Community Baptist Church, but what I do know is that God orchestrated and ordered our steps and this union. And from the very beginning, it was love, and it was very special. All of our youth, all of their youth, all of our adults, all of their adults, it was just a great fellowship. There was love and peace that was displayed the entire time. We played, we prayed, we laughed, we ate, and it was a great time together, again, because of the body of Christ. And so it's such a genuine joy to meet and fellowship with our new brothers and sisters. And it was truly a move of God, and it demonstrated again Paul's message of Ephesians 3, when Paul let us know that we are sons and daughters of God through our faith, not our color, not our background, not our money, but through our faith in Christ. And when we are baptized in Christ, we put on Christ, and that makes a difference. And again, my church family in Pleasant Valley, we see through the eyes of Christ when we become a part of Him. Not Jew or Greek, not black or white, Latino, Asian, Native American. We don't see through those eyes. We see through the eyes of Christ, which are eyes of love. Not male, female, not rich, poor, not Republican, Democratic, Independent. We see through God's eyes of love, His heart. And that's exactly what we witness with our new family, with Pastor Jameis and the Pleasant Valley members who came, and his family, because we are all one in Christ. So my prayer is that you will, and we will, and the world will see that through Jesus Christ, we can become one. No matter what we look like, it's our heart, it's our eyes of Christ that allow us to love, to fellowship. And truly, March 19th, that day became a day that stuck in our hearts, our minds, as God was moving and God was orchestrating something special. And then on Saturday and Sunday, when we saw and interacted and met and worshiped with our new family, we knew that this was God teaching us in real time. So thank God for His movement. Thank God for us obeying the Spirit. Thank God for Pastor Jameis and his church family obeying the Spirit. And my prayer is that we'll continue to love each other and maybe one day meet in person. But to God be the glory. God bless you. We love you with the love of Christ. And may you continue to do God's work and God's will. God bless you.
That is Ephesians 3:10. That's what it means. There's not a black church and a white church. There's one church. It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for 10 trillion years in heaven, we will all be together. That's why we sang that song this morning, No More Fear-Filled Divisions. All of that washed away in the blood of Jesus. What we are doing here this morning is the greatest show on earth. Verse 10, God's multifaceted, many-colored, intricately broidered, dazzling wisdom may now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavens. I'm telling you, the angels looked down and rejoiced over what happened that weekend in Milwaukee. What happened that Sunday in Milwaukee was greater than the Grammys, more spectacular than the Super Bowl, more majestic than Mount Everest, the Church of Jesus Christ, the unified yet diverse Church of Jesus shows off the wisdom of God to the world. When we gather as a church on Sundays, this is not just a weekly item on our checklist. Please don't view it that way. This is sacred. This is holy. This is divine. Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I with them." The greatest thing going in the universe is the church, because Christ is here. So don't miss church. Let's be here because Christ is here. And this is an apologetic to a watching world. This is a witness to the universe that God is real and God is great. There is only one institution in the universe that Jesus Christ personally endorses, and it's the church. There is only one institution in the cosmos over which Jesus says, I am the head, and it's the church. Kingdoms, nations, and evil forces will come against the church, but the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Because when you mess with the church, you mess with Christ. Jesus has a personal interest in the church because he shed his blood to save her. So friends, if we are going to invest in anything, if we are going to commit our lives to anything, if we are going to give ourselves to anything, commit to the church of Christ, because Jesus said, the church is mine and ain't nobody gonna come against it. And, yeah. And one of the clearest ways Jesus communes and is present with his church is through communion. Jesus uniquely, through his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God is always present. Christ is always present when his people gather. But there's a particular, unique, experiential, tangible presence of Christ when we eat the bread and drink of the cup, and in so doing, rehearse and practice and remember the gospel. When we taste the bread, we are actually tasting and experiencing the wonder of what Christ did on the cross. And so the unified church, sinners and saints, eating and drinking together at the Lord's Supper, is a declaration of God's power. Angels and demons watch as we eat of the same bread. And they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So at this time, I'd like to ask our Lord's Supper ushers, if you all, dear brothers and sisters, go to your places of service. And in just a moment, we're going to have a time of reflection. We're going to have a few moments to examine ourselves before we partake of this sacred meal, a chance to confess our sin, to remember the gospel. The Lord's Supper is, listen, this is a serious meal. This is not snack time. This is not something we flippantly race through just to check it off the list. This is a meal with Christ for those who have placed their faith in Jesus and are following Jesus. So if you've not yet believed in Jesus, and I would say if you're not seeking to obey Christ by following him in baptism as he commands us to do, we'd ask that you do not partake of this holy meal. But for those of us who are in Christ, after a few moments of reflection and prayer, when you're ready on your own timing, you can get up and come to one of the serving tables. There's one here and here in front of me, and then there's one there and there and there. So you've got five different places, whatever is closest to you. Let's bow our heads. Let's prepare our hearts to receive. When you arrive at the table, there'll be a piece of bread. If you've not partaking of the Lord's Supper here before, you can dip the bread in the cup, and then you can partake of the meal right there at the table before you return to your seat if you'd like. If you have a gluten allergy or you'd rather not use the actual bread and cup, we have a prepackaged gluten-free option as well. With our heads bowed and hearts postured before the Lord, let me read from Matthew 26. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, and he said, take and eat, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. So at this time, let's just take a few moments to pray. And when you are ready, you may leave your seat and head to the tables nearest to you.
Thanks for checking out Sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.